Amen. You love the Lord this morning. Amen. Yeah. The musicians go ahead and take their seats. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you and just to worship the Lord and look to Him and see what He has for us today. So I guess I had a few announcements I wanted to make, a few things I wanted to say. First, I wanted to apologize for the smell of the paint this morning, you know, but that's just what you have to deal with as you're doing some work. And probably in a few weeks, we'll probably have to deal with the smell of new carpet. That'll probably last a little bit longer than the paint does, but just bear with us as we get these things done. Brother Pablo, who came and helped us through a lot of the work, as you see, he wanted to send his greetings to each one of you this morning. And I tell you, Brother Pablo works like a machine. Yeah. So I was over here 15 hours Monday working and 14 hours Tuesday. And the only reason why he stopped was because his mother was concerned about him working too much when he needed to be getting some rest. And so, but he sends his greetings to you. Had a really good time working with him, fellowshipping with him while we were together. And I also want to thank the Black Brothers for the help that they did on cleaning. Wednesday night after Brother Pablo finished up for the week, I was really tired after two long days, Monday and Tuesday, so I didn't really do any work Wednesday, and these brothers were here helping, and after Brother Pablo got done, they went to cleaning the main sanctuary, and just a little while, they sent me a video of the place, and I was amazed at how quickly it got cleaned. And I was thinking these brothers worked like machines also. And so I wanted to thank them for that. And then I want to thank my wife and Sister Mary for helping yesterday as we were here trying to put things back in place. They came and helped. And you know, even though you cover stuff with plastic and you dry, that dust and things gets everywhere. I mean, even way off back in the office back there where there shouldn't have been anything. So, you know, if you find something with a little bit of dust on it, just forgive us for missing it because it's probably everywhere. But we're making progress and we thank the Lord for that. And so, we draw strength from each other and inspiration and, you know, from our fellowship. And when we see each other go through battles and we see them come out with victories, it's a blessing to all of us. It's part of what it's about being a family, a church family. And so, we wanted to take just a moment this morning to recognize the person among us who's been a real blessing to us and that you can certainly draw inspiration from to see their ability to keep pressing on through the years. And so we wanted to just recognize Sister Pansy. She's got a birthday coming up and just wanted to let her know how much we appreciate having her among us. And I mean, you can say it's been a blessing to have her with us. And we've said it many times, you know, to see her put a prayer request in and see how it gets answered and how she always comes back and thanks the Lord for it. Yes. And also how the Lord answers her prayers. And so, sister, if the Lord tarries and you go on over to the other side before we do, if the Lord will let you, we ask that you would just continue to pray for us over there until we get there. Amen. I do believe God can span across time and space and dimensions with prayer. Amen. You know, I believe that somebody can go on and their prayers can linger back and be fulfilled afterwards. And so we just want to say thank you, sister, for being such a faithful part of us. We wanted to present to you a small gift here on the altar for you to take with you today as a small token of our appreciation of your fellowship among us and what you mean to us. Amen. We can all say amen to that. So we want to go ahead and turn to the scriptures now. We'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin reading verse 1. This is Timothy's, Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And we go to the next reading of the 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We want to read verse 8 and verse 33. The familiar scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14:8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? And verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is, as in all churches of the saints. Let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, just holding in our heart an expectation of you, Lord, because you're the one that makes this all work. Just a part of you in each one of us as we come together and we just feel the licks of fire. We want to thank you, Lord, for your presence among us and for everything that you do. And even though we fall short so many times, we make mistakes, we get tired, and sometimes maybe disoriented, but Lord, through your grace, you're always there with us to help us and to get us back on track. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence among us. We're asking, Lord, that you take this service this morning into your hands. Lord, that you would speak to us and through us. And God, that you would just have your way today. That in this great hour that we live in, that has been so long coming, but here it is. And we're asking, God, that you'd give us clarity of vision now as we move forward. Ask, Lord, that you bless each one now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. May the Lord richly bless you. We read here the scriptures where Paul is saying that each one of us, he's given this to Timothy, but we take it as a letter to us, that we should be good soldiers. And he says that we should endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, we sometimes when we talk about a person being harsh, they're so hard. But what that means is they're very strict in their discipline or whatever it is they're standing for, whatever it is they're doing. And so Paul is telling Timothy, and he's telling us, that we want to endure hardness as a good soldier. Because you won't be a good soldier if you're not very disciplined to the thing which he has called us to. And so he tells us these things. And, a poor soldier, a poor trained soldier, let me put it that way, a soldier that is poorly trained is a dead soldier.
Right.
And so we want to be well-trained,
yes,
well-disciplined, good soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes in the other scripture there we read, said, if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare for war, for battle? And so we understand that in old times that they used trumpets. Nowadays we got radios and all kinds of communications, but back then they had to use trumpets. And when you got a battlefield and your people scattered all over the place and they're fighting and the general wants everybody to make a certain move together, then they would do it in the form of blowing a trumpet. And the trumpet would have different soundings. They would blow us, a long and a short or different things like that. And the soldiers were trained to recognize the trumpet as it sounds so that when they hear that trumpet, they know what to do. Because perhaps the general would say, let's pull back, or let's advance forward, or let's move to the right or to the left, or let's do different things. And so he would have a certain trumpet sound, and when he would blow that, the enemy, his soldiers would know what to do, and the enemy wouldn't know what's going on. And it's kind of like nowadays, and through the wars that we've had in the last century, they had communications, and they had this great push to try and listen in on what the other nations was doing. And they had the machine that they come up with to break the code. Thank God they did. Break the code of the Germans and the different ones. And what they were doing as they communicated, they were able to decipher how they were communicating. And so the equivalent of that back in the old days would be that the enemy would figure out what the trumpet sounds meant. Mm-hmm. Right? They'd understand what commands were being given. And so it's you know, war is the same, whether it's on a battlefield 2,000 or 3,000 years ago or if it's today right now, the battle is the same, that there is has to be a general in charge. There has to be somebody who can give a command, and everyone who is underneath that general can rally to the thing that he wants done, and that's what brings you victory.
Right.
See, and so that's what the concept is there. And so Paul is saying that if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, if people does not understand what that sound is saying, how are they going to prepare? How are they, in essence, how are they going to be victorious?
Yep.
They won't be victorious if they don't know the trumpet sound.
Yep.
And so, you know, a trumpet sounding all different things would be confusion, but the scripture tells us that God is not the author of confusion, and he's a great general. Amen. He's a great general, and we want to be able to understand and hear the trumpet sound from him, and Christians are predestinated, ordained of God to understand the trumpet sound. We know that trumpet sound is the gospel trumpet. And so, you know, a trumpet is sounded to get the people's attention, and it is to put them in unity with each other and to put them in action.
Yeah.
Right? Puts them all in unity, trying to accomplish the same thing. Unity, and it puts them in action to carry out the plan or the instructions of the great general who has called the trumpet to be blown. And so we know the Bible teaches us in all kinds of things of trumpets and different things, and they're all there for a reason. It's always for a gathering in Israel. The trumpet was for a gathering of some sort, whether it be a religious thing or some form of battle or some ceremony or celebration. They always had these trumpets, and everybody was trained to know what they meant. And so the trumpet would be sounded on the day of Jubilee. It would say, you can go free. That was a trumpet sound to get everybody's attention.
Yeah.
And so we understand the concept there. So Christians, though we talk about this, Christians, as I've already mentioned, they are trained to hear the gospel trumpet.
Yeah.
They are to hear what God is giving instruction for us, to give us victory over our enemies. And so we know we are trained to hear that trumpet sound. We don't really rally around all the other trumpets. We don't really rally around all the other things that are out there trying to sway us and so forth. You know, there's all kinds of trumpets out there, many trumpets out there. Mm-hmm. And every one of them is trying to get people to rally to their stand and whatever it is they want to do, whatever their purpose is. They're trying to gain the masses so they can get unity and action for whatever it is they're believing or whatever it is they're standing for.
Right.
So there's trumpets all over the place. There's national trumpets, political trumpets, religious trumpets, scientific trumpets,
mm-hmm.
right? There's medical trumpets,
right.
Sports trumpets.
Mm-hmm.
See, every one of them is pushing their agenda and sounding out, trying to gain people to get underneath the belief system or whatever it is and to push for their favorite team or push for their government, push for their political party. And all of these things, they all stand for, in essence, coming down to trying to gain a certain purpose.
Right.
Trying to get a certain thing to come to pass, and they realize if they can get enough masses together, they can make that work. And so there's all kinds of trumpets, all of them trying to get people to rally around the cause that they have. But the believer is ordained of God to hear the gospel trumpet and not rally around all the noise,
right.
All the other sounds out there. You know, in the kind of work I do in my day job, you know, we go to make measurements of things like voltage or temperature or something like that, and there's always background noise. And sometimes it's pretty significant because of other equipment. And so you got to be careful in making measurements. There's certain things you have to do, and usually you can't just take one measurement. Usually the way we get more accurate at what we do is we take hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of measurements, and you can perform some math on that, and you'll come out with the right answer, which gets rid of all the noise. And so it's the same way. You can't just have a pet scripture.
Right.
You can't just read one article in the news.
Yeah.
Right? You can't just take somebody's word for it. You've got to do research. You've got to read your scriptures. You've got to pray. And if you do enough of that, you'll finally reach what is truth.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, you got the right spirit in you. You will. And so we know how that works. And believers they are to be tuned to the gospel trumpet. I'm going to read several quotes, and they're kind of lengthy, but I think they're good quotes. They apply, and so you bear with me, and Lord willing, we'll move through this pretty quickly this morning. First one is, the trumpet gives an uncertain sound. Brother M says, the national life is uncertain. With the world is uncertain. We're just living in a place where the whole world is having a nervous prostration. Looks like shaking every nation. Everybody's afraid of one another. They talk peace. They had one time, they said, when we fight the first world, all of our boys has got to go over there and that'll settle the wars. And when they did, they didn't even get the artillery smoke fanned out of the air until there was another one. They had a League of Nations, and that was going to police the world, and it fell through. And now they've got the UN, and it's just the same thing. It's done, fell through. There's nothing to it. Everything is shaking, national life, political life, voting machines. Oh, my. They're just, the whole thing is shook up, everything. You know, Brother Graham said there, he said, even the UN. Now, you know, throughout the years, as me growing up, after he said that he's gone, I've watched, and it was always the UN, the UN. They were going to be, well, what did we find out about the UN recently?
Yeah.
Huh? He knew what he was talking about. Listen, everything that was going on in his day that he was speaking of, you could kind of look at it like this. Perhaps all that was put on pause or laid dormant, but it's now surfaced again before us. And surely we can see now what's going on based upon what, you know, because modern events are made clear by prophecy, by the things that God has told us. And so the UN is busted up. And because of it, we realize that they're not really have the agenda that they're supposed to. And that's why the United States has pulled back and said, I don't think we want to support this anymore.
Right?
And so next quote is, in stature of a perfect man. He said, And when you see this the other day, there's no need in voting anymore. What's the use of voting? When they put it in the paper and proved it before the public, and they refused to do anything about it. When they proved that the machines across the nation was set up, that when they voted, elected Mr. Kennedy by a false vote, didn't the Bible say he would come in by deceit and falsehood? Now, I'm not against the Democratic Party nor the Republic Party, but I'm just stating facts from the Bible. What's the use in voting? They know who's going in there. And so Brother Graham tells us right there, and we'll get into the voting thing here in just a minute, a little bit more about it, but he's telling us that they proved that the voting machines were rigged. Coming out FBI, they showed that in his day, that voting was rigged, and they didn't do anything about it. They left the man in office. It didn't do anything. And I'm telling you, you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. These things are with us today, and they're with us today not in seed form, not in infant form, but in full form.
Right.
And they're going to be accomplishing in a major way today what they were back then. And this prophet could see it, because in that day, you and I were probably looking around going, what's he talking about? But that message is very relevant to our day, more so than it was that day.
Right.
You understand? And so the next one here, next quote is from Uncertain Sound. He said, there's no certainty in politics anymore. The parties can't even have any certainty. There's not any fairness among them anymore. Have you been paying attention? Not any fairness among them. It's not about truth and doing what's right. It's about pulling the wools over the eyes of the people to get whatever it is your agenda is. So they're blasting their political trumpets. And so there's not any fairness anymore. Now, someone might say, you shouldn't mention politics in the pulpit. And that's true. But decency and Christianity ought to be mentioned in the pulpit. That's right. I'm not a politician. I'm a Christian. Both sides is corrupt. But just recently, in the presidential election, even they had to go back and found these voting machines that were fixed up so that when you voted for one, you had to vote for the other also. Crooked. They don't know who got elected. They can't tell anymore. No certainty in it. You put them down to count the votes, and somebody crooked enough will count the votes the wrong way. Parties pulling to get their man in. No honesty. Now, if Mr. Kennedy would have been a Republican or whatever, Democrat, Mr. Nixon, it makes no difference. That the thing is wrong when the machines are set up to vote wrong. And the FBI proved that it was done, but they didn't do nothing about it. See? And you wonder why such things get, this is what I want you to pay attention to. You wonder why such things get so over the face of the people. In other words, how can we get this by the people and nothing happens? The people just let it happen. Why? You wonder why such things get so over the face of the people. How it ever happened. It's because these things has to be. We're at the end time. It has to be there. This man had to be elected. And we're at the end. And I'm sure you can. I'm sure that you can make 2 and 2 4. And we're at the end. And these machines, no matter how much they would prove that they crooked it, it is. It has to remain that the way it is. And then in the Pergamene age, Brother Brown says, he said, then at the first Nicaea Council, he said, when I read that, I just fell to my knees. This great Nicaean Council had taken place in AD 325. All of them was brought together, the bishops and fathers of the Christian faith was brought together at Nicaea. That's the reason they called it Nicaean Council in AD 325. And about 1,500 delegates came to the convention or the council, about 1,500 delegates, and the laity outnumbered the bishops 5 to 1 in the delegation. Did you hear what he said? The church people outnumbered the bishops 5 to 1. That's what he said. Outnumbered them 5 to 1 in the delegation. But yet, through the Nicolaitans, which is the cold formals, through the Nicolaitans and Constantine's political plan, they outvoted the true church and won the victory and issued in bishops a holy order of men, taking the Holy Spirit from the meeting and placing it upon bishops, cardinals, and popes, and so forth. So you see what happened? Through a crooked voting system, they brought in what is now with us today, ruling the world as from the Catholic Church. And Brother Graham said, the same crooked deal that the Democratic Party played in this last thing. So Brother Graham is saying the thing that the Democrats did is the same thing that happened back there at Nicaea. Right. That's what he's telling us. Now that's right. And the Republicans would be just as low down. But I'm talking about one thing that they proved. Edgar Hoover in California and many other places, they had those voting machines placed where you'd vote for Nixon and you had to vote for Kennedy at the same time. He didn't have a chance. Talk about Nixon. He didn't have a chance because every time you'd vote for him, there was a vote going for Kennedy too. Well, now that they've proved that that's wrong, then why didn't they do something about it? We're living in the hour, that's it, where we're at the end time. They know it. They proved that they were crooked, and now they won't do nothing about it. That was a crooked outfit back there, talking about Nicaea, and here it's birthed again to get a certain in a certain man and get over a certain doctrine. He talks about back there, it was a Nicolaitan doctrine, which was just once a deed, but now it's become a doctrine. So Brother Graham was making the parallel of showing you that in this day, when they're moving and having crooked voting and things like that going on, that was a resurrection of what was done back there, and the whole purpose is to get somebody in, get the power in there so they can advance their agenda. And so did you know that while Brother Graham was here and at that time preaching this message, that the Catholic Church had their second Vatican Council? They did. While the prophet of God was here bringing this end time message that's going to take us to glory, Satan reared up his hand and had their second Vatican Council, the same thing they had back there, they did it again. Okay? And so we see these things that's happening before us can be understood when you look at the scriptures, you look at history and see what's going on there. So we can't put our trust, or may I say this, can we put our trust in national trumpets? What about our nation? Say, we're the great, the great nation of America. And I'll tell you what, the world looks at us as the last free country. The world, other nations out there are saying, and they know this, that if our freedoms fall here, the whole world falls. Because we're the last government on earth that has tried to have freedom for people to be able to live and not under tyranny. Yeah. Right? And so, but can we have confidence in this? No, because we realize that this nation is the second beast in Revelation chapter 13.
Right.
I was sharing this with somebody at work this week. So Rome was the first beast
Right. Raised
up, and it had the deadly wound, and then it was resurrected. That was pagan Rome that died and fell from internal corruption. But their agenda and their power moved on in papal Rome, as we see what we just read there in AD 325. And so, that they were the first ones. They went out, and Brother Ben tells us, they were the first man-made organized system, and they went out and began to force others through the dark ages to martyr people who didn't want to stay and be with the Catholic system. They killed them. Jesus said the time will come when they put you to death and think that they're doing God service.
Right.
And so, who was the first one who went out and forced people to come to their religion? Nimrod, which became Babylon, and that's why the New Testament calls this church, Catholic church system, Mystery Babylon, because they're doing the same thing that Nimrod did back there, forcing people. And you say, well, I haven't seen that. Read your history. And there are people around the world who are martyred today.
Right.
Plenty of them. It just hasn't come to the shores of America yet.
Yeah.
But it's in their hearts. And that's what they plan to do. And so just wait around, and hopefully you won't be here
Right. For
that. And so we can't have our trust in America, because a prophet tells us that second beast that rose up, the scripture tells us there in Revelation 13, that second beast that rose up out of the earth, not out of waters where there was a lot of people in Europe, but out of a place where there wasn't a lot of people, which was here. And he rose up like a lamb, religious, Christ, the Lamb of God, and had two horns, but then it began to speak like the dragon. So this nation was born on godly principles, but then through the fall becomes the voice of the dragon, speaking Right. Like the dragon.
That's right.
And it's that system that created another beast that was an image to the original beast, mm-hmm. an image to Rome.
Right.
And so what was it? It's going to be a system, and it said that one had the power to cause everybody to worship that image of that beast, and if you didn't, it'd take away your ability to buy or sell and all that. And we understand what the spiritual form of that is. Okay, we understand that. But physically it comes too, and it's coming right out of this nation, a wicked government. See, it's coming. No matter what the votes are, no matter what, they already know who's going to go in there. They got a plan. They raise up kings. They take down kings, right? Because Satan's behind it.
Right.
And so they're going to, this nation is going to, out of this nation is rising a power that's going to set up a system to bring to pass physically a mark of the beast. Okay? So we can't have confidence in that. Because we know where it's going. We're Christian believers, so we don't want to be hooked to that. Can we have confidence in religious trumpets? Which one would you have confidence in?
Right.
Because every one of them have changed and left the Word of God. And since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, when every one of those organizations leave the Word, that's where they die. And they've all left. So which one could you rally to? And there are people doing it. There's people rallying. They say, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm whatever.
Right.
That's not what a Christian, that's not when you say, are you a Christian? That don't mean nothing. That just means you're a Baptist or just whatever. That doesn't mean you're a Christian.
Right.
See? And so we know Brother Branham was very clear about these things. I'm not telling you something you don't know, but we can't listen to religious trumpets from around the world because they've all left the word.
Right.
We can't put our trust in political trumpets. Surely you know that by now.
Right.
See, God has given us, I think it's pretty interesting, you know, 2020 vision. Here we are in 2020, and 2020 is a term we use for 2020 vision. And surely people's getting good eyesight now spiritually.
Yeah.
Surely they can see that you can't trust what's going on up there in Washington.
Right.
And surely we can see Brother Graham knew what he was talking about when he said you can put an Abraham Lincoln and George Washington in every county and we'll bring it back. Mm-hmm. And you can put a man up there, you can put however many you want to in Washington, they're supposed to be good, and maybe they are. I'm not their judge. But you can't bring it back. Why? Because the nation as a whole left the Word of God. They did. They got meetings and religious gatherings and churches by the millions. See? But they left the Word.
Yeah.
Because if everybody in this nation that claimed to be Christian was real, genuine Christians, we wouldn't have going on what we have going on.
Right.
See? But they don't believe it. They don't believe that they've left the Word. They just keep right on in their system. So what can you do? What can you do with them? And so we cannot trust in political parties, political systems. We know Brother Brown already said they're both corrupt, but look at it. Look at it. Absolute tyranny out in the open, and nothing can be done about it. People who have absolutely broke the laws, and you got it recorded on live television and can prove it, and nothing happens to it, and at the same time they're trying to take down other people who they claim has done what they did do. And you see what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't. Brother was telling us these things, and now here it is before us. Surely we come to the conclusion that we cannot trust in a political party, in a voting system. It's going to be what the beast system wants. Might have a little hiccup for just a little while. Might look like something good's going to happen. But the bride of Jesus Christ is not listening to that trumpet.
Right.
We're not rallying around those trumpets.
Right.
There's one trumpet we're trained to hear, and that is the gospel trumpet, which tells us this stuff is just a facade.
Amen.
We can't put our confidence in the political system. Have you ever wondered, why is there two parties? Why did there have to be two parties? Because, you know, to me, I'm not a politician. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm not pushing for either one of them. I choose on position. I choose on what is stood for,
yeah, right?
And so for me, I don't care who they are, if their stance and what they want to do for us as the American people, what they want to vote in and get done, matches the convictions I have in my heart according to the Word of God. That's the man, and I don't care who he is. I don't care if he's Democrat or... And so, to me, people should always be voting on issues, but did you notice that somewhere back when, two-party system was created? Why? Because Satan knows exactly how to take down a people. And you've heard this over and over. Divide and conquer.
Right.
That they, somebody, a power entity, I'll just call it Satan because he's the one behind it, that moved in the background over the years and created this, knowing that he was going to create a system and then was going to turn around and take those systems and pit them at one another. And while they're fighting and trying to destroy one another, his agenda is being progressed. While they destroy one another. And when I seen a little cartoon one time, and it showed two doorways, and it showed a Democrat and Republican, and you could see the hallway, and it went back, and they all joined together. It's just a facade. Oh, I'm this, and here, well, I'm that. And it's something Satan has put in there to make people be pit against, give them a reason to oppose one another and divide each other so that Satan can conquer. Because when we are divided, we can't stand.
That's right.
A house divided cannot stand. A nation divided cannot stand.
Yeah.
And so they pick, and this is their playbook. This is Satan's playbook. Try and figure out what the trumpet sounds are and confuse those. You know, figure out what Israel was going to blow as a trumpet, and then you get out there on a battlefield and you try to mimic that and do something and get everybody scattered, and now you got half your people over here and half of them over here because they're really listening to two different trumpets. But if they would all be disciplined soldiers to the trumpet sound and stay with that and that alone, then there's no division.
Right.
So we've got to cause division so we can pit one against the other. And so that's the way it works. Divide these groups up and cause them. So we got Democrats and against Republicans, vice versa. And we know that. Nobody disputes that. But what's some of the other things that has come up recently? And I won't say recently because it was here when Brother Brown was here, but some of it's even more so recently. Pitting blacks against whites.
Right?
He talked about it. See? And if you look at the way he described that, when they had that segregation issue, he said the blacks here in the South said they had a better school, had better teachers, better playground equipment, everything was better over there at the black school. But Martin Luther King was stirring up the people and a movement that was causing them to want to integrate, and instead of having their own, they wanted to get together. And go over to a school where they didn't have as good of teachers, didn't have as good a playground, and it was all just something stirring people up instead of saying, hey, we got it better over here, let's stay here. Stirring them up. And here's what Brother Rim said. He said, if those people were slaves, if they were really that, he said, I'd be down there with my coat off, beaten away for them myself.
Right.
So it tells you that what was being pushed was not really true. Now, that same thing is here now, trying to make, and I'm not saying there's not somebody out there that is treated like that, okay, here or there, but trying to make it look like there's this giant movement out there where blacks against whites.
Yeah.
And it's really not there, but because the agenda makes it be there.
Right?
Right? That's right. Mm-hmm. Why? So they can pit one against the other and cause division. And destroy in the process.
That's
right. And it makes no difference. Program said down there, there was an old black man stood up and wanted to talk to the people, and he said, I was never ashamed of my color until today.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouted him down. So here's a voice rising up trying to say truth. Shout him down. Yeah. Don't let him talk. Override him. Kind of what you're seeing now, isn't it? Don't listen to the voice of reason.
Yeah.
See, because it goes from criticizing to demonizing to crucifying.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works. This is the way it works. Criticize it, make it look bad, try to discredit it, and if we can't destroy it that way, then we begin to demonize it. We're going to begin to say, this guy's prince of the devils.
Mm-hmm.
See? And begin to become aggressive toward it, and eventually becomes a crucifixion of it. That's the pattern. That's why Jesus said, the time will come when they'll put you to death and think they're doing God's service. But they don't just walk up and do it. They go through the steps of making you look bad in the eyes of the people so that, like Hitler, could finally, through his message, finally get it to where everybody's okay with what he's fixing to do. And that's the way they do it. It's the same now. Just keep pushing it. Just keep pushing something that's not there. Keep pushing and keep pushing and saying, this group is the reason why things are bad. Keep pushing, keep pushing until everybody is convinced that that's so. And then now everybody's so mad and they're okay with exterminating that people.
Yeah.
It's happened time and time again in history because it's the same devils. Just acting out the same agenda, headed to the same end product. You follow me? And surely people can see that that's what's going on now. Surely. And I share this morning because I want you to be tied to a certain sound, not an uncertain sound.
Amen.
Blacks against whites. You know what? If I saw blacks, if I came upon a situation, I'd be fighting for them too. But I haven't seen one. Just a playground, a couple of name calls, I've seen it both ways. And by the way, if the blacks can act toward blacks a certain way, they don't have right to condemn somebody else for it. And I'm not endorsing any bad way, but you understand what's fair is fair.
Yeah.
Right? But it isn't. It's played out where there's things that are not fair, but it's all twisted where right is wrong and wrong is right. But that's what they're doing.
Right.
That's the way it is. And it's all a program of Satan. Blacks against white. Here's the one that's newer. Men against women.
Yeah.
Men against women. Think about it. Push all that agenda out there. See? And we could go on and on, pitting one another against the other.
Right.
Setting up situations to fuel it. And all it is a great takedown. And why? Because people are listening to different trumpets. That's what they're listening to. Listening to different trumpets, but the believers, we're not supposed to rally to those different trumpets. You got one that we listen to. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. While each one is destroying the others, Satan's agenda is being accomplished. Beast nature, I've said in the past, the beast nature will destroy an innocent life just to satisfy his own cravings and not fret one bit at the sorrow and the suffering of that innocent.
Right.
And that's what these systems, these spirits get into governments and get into peoples and get in, and how they can carry out such atrocities. How that people can gang up on a person in the street and beat them to death is beyond me. But they're anointed of a beast spirit that wants to do those things. And I'm telling you, the evil's out there, right? And our only safety from those things is the Lord Jesus Christ. Those devils haven't changed one bit. Satan is the head of all of this. Satan is the one that's behind all these things. You can find out through history that Rome is a master at doing what I'm talking about. Rome is a master. They can go in and have a certain agenda that they want to have accomplished in a certain nation, and they know they can't get it done. They can go in behind the scenes, and it takes years to do this, go in behind the scenes and cause a division there and cause a war between maybe that nation and another, or even within a nation, and cause it, and when it's all over and done with, they're standing back all pious and going, oh, it's such a tragedy that all these people killed one another, and they were the ones behind it, and at the end, they got their thing that they wanted.
Yeah.
And look at all the innocent deaths because of it. That's the playbook, see? And so, Rome is a master of those things. Do your history search and you'll find out. So, can we put our trust in scientific trumpets? The science and what they say, you know, now contradicts a lot of things they said 15, 20 years ago. And you know, science, remember, I don't speak what the Bible speaks, I speak what the prophet speaks. It was Cain's lineage that went to science. It was Cain's lineage that went to self-exaltation.
Yep.
Cain's lineage was the one that wanted PhD and LLD at the back of their name.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the ones that started naming cities after themselves. They're the lineage that started deifying themselves, and they became gods. And then even today, that some of the gods they look back to was just somebody, was a king who made himself a priest and a go-between between God and the people. You know? That's what happened. It's exactly what happened. And they were the ones that went after science and building cities and great instruments and things like that. But the lineage of Adam, who said they were humble sheep herders.
Right.
See, And so that ungodly side, they didn't stay humble. They didn't want to just live peacefully and live naturally off the land and so forth. They wanted to be big shot, great people, great names. And, by the way, let's go force everybody else to be like we are. And by doing that, gain strength for themselves. That's what they tried to do there in Babylon. They knew that there was a flood. And like, we're going to establish ourselves in such a way that we won't be destroyed. Nobody's going to come and take us out. And so they tried to build up a great kingdom, and God confounded them. That's Babylon. Confusion. Lots of different trumpets, but it's all Babylon. Right? Many ways to go astray, but only one way. One gospel trumpet. And so science is just one great big bite off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
The more you bite off of science, the more death you get.
Yeah.
Brother Ram says, well, now they got an atomic bomb. What are they going to do with that? Because they put gasoline, pull stuff out, put gasoline, go down the road, and somebody killed 120 miles an hour and kills a family. Science produced that. Right? Science produced that. Make gunpowder. How many you kill with gunpowder? Make an atomic bomb. How many you gonna kill with that? Right? Making medicines to put in people's bodies to supposedly help them when God made our immune system such that it can take care of itself. Right? Death. And so the point is that, yes, there's good. That's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you take a bite of what looks to be good on that tree, you get the evil too.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it's not the tree of life. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
It's a different tree.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bite off that tree, you get what's in it.
Yes.
See? That's another trumpet that's being blown. It's a different system. But there's one tree of life, one gospel trumpet that we've got to stay with. We live in this world and we have to deal with it. But you understand, Satan's got a system, what we could refer to as Satan's Eden, that's coming to its fullness. So we can't trust in scientific trumpets. We can't trust in the medical trumpets. Can we trust in the medical trumpets? They can't even tell you, and I think it's by design, but they can't even tell you whether you should wear a mask or not. You know what I'm saying? Because remember, Satan's the author of confusion. That became Babylon confusion.
Right.
If you get away from truth, you can't have anything but confusion.
Right.
If you get away from life, you can't have anything but death.
Yep.
See what I'm saying? And I don't care what it looks like, what they've created. If man's created it and it's different than the Word of God and what God has provided naturally for us, there's death in it somewhere. That's right. And as a Christian believer, we want to stay with God. We want to be as close to his original creation as possible. And we live in a world that's a Satan's Eden, so we have to deal with it. But still yet, while we're here, we want to be as close to God's original plan as possible. And God has provided it so that we can, at least in doctrine and in truth. You might not be able to go out and find a place on this earth to get a drink of water that's absolutely pure like it would have been in the Garden of Eden. You might not be able to. Probably not. You know, most people in this world don't have access to good drinking water.
Right.
We don't know this because we've got pretty decent, we've got decent water. I can't drink it out of the tap for very many days until I start getting heartburn. That's right. But you understand, what we consider to have good water, but most of the world doesn't have. Why? Because of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's created these things. And if you don't believe it, just go a little while. Just go a little while. You young people, when you're young, your body can bounce back a whole lot easier from things. And you can put stuff in there maybe and be fine. But you start getting a little older, your body starts saying, wait a minute. We got a problem here.
Yeah.
Be healthy now. It'll help you in the future if the Lord tarries. So we can't trust the medical trumpets, because unless people's got the Holy Ghost driving them and motivating them, they're corruptible. That's right. And so medical system gets into big pharma and government, and they get in together in a coalition, and then government control, and pharma gets lobbyist into the government and says, if you go out here and make it a law that people can't have such and such, we've got something here that we can provide for in the first place. You know what I'm saying? We'll provide this, but we need you to make it to where people can't go some other route. So you come up with a natural herb that's good for something that you need to take, and they'll go after them and shut them down so they can't make it. Why? So they can have the love of money, which is the root of all evil. That they can create something, a different thing. Because remember, Lucifer thought he could come up with a better kingdom. Yeah. And now he's down here influencing people, thinking we can do this better than what God did. Mm-hmm. We can provide you something better than your own immune system. That's right. Yeah. And we're so, I realize we're compromised because of the world and all the hybrid stuff that you and I have already been lived in. But we still want to be true to God, close to God as we can. So they have all this great control. Big pharma, pharmacy, making medicines. And you know, I always thought, you know, the old doctors that used to go out and they'd get on their horse and they'd ride out in the middle of who knows where to get to a baby that's sick. In the wintertime, sleeting and snowing, they ride their horse, go out there, and maybe the family couldn't even pay them anything. Maybe had to give them a carton egg or a thing of eggs or something, right? But it was in their heart. It was in their heart to help people.
Yeah.
But just like everything else, like all the holidays and everything else, it's become a big commercial thing where it's all about money, all about this. And you know, you go to have. You know, like the other day, first time me going to the doctor, an eye doctor. Get your name and maybe your address or something like that. And about the third question is give me your insurance information. That's more important. And I realize they have to operate, but you know, it's a big money machine. It's a big money machine. But what I'm trying to get to is I think people should be paid for their services, but it's a control. It is a manipulation that has tried to snuff out the natural things that God is there and provide something else and make everybody go that route.
Right.
Rather than, you see what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to show you something. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. We're familiar with this. She has it up here. Now, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay a third part of men. And the number of the army of horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. It's 200 million. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jasmine, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three was a third part of men killed by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads on them. And with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Now you remember these 200 million army that goes out, Brother Ram comes along and he tells us that those spirits went forth and anointed Mussolini, Hitler, Eichmann, and Stalin and brought forth the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Right? Brought forth what you should go look up so that you know what man is capable of. Under a devil spirit. But then Brother Graham tells us, but then those same spirits now have been loosed on the bride. into the churches an ecclesiastical persecution, right? And so when did that happen? That happened in our day, and not my day, but certainly some of the people still with us in this message. This happened in their day, in the days of Hitler, the days of the Holocaust, and even now with us now. And so what I want to show you there is that the scripture said, and I'll say it this way, in the days of these horses, in the days of what they were doing, there was a lot of people who were destroyed, and we know that it said a third part, and that was actually 6 million Jews out of 18 million at the time. And that's why the scripture said that, because it's pertaining to the Jews. But Brother Ernest says, now they're coming to the bride. So in the days, of, I'm going to say it like this, in the last 100 years, these things have come forth, and so the scripture said, and then the men and the people who had not repented, continued not to repent of the things they were doing, was in this hour. Because those just went forth. So now we've got among us now, since Hitler, people who refused to repent of their fornications and of all the things that, you follow me? And one of those things was their sorceries. They refused to repent of sorceries. Now sorcery is, I have it written down here so I don't say it wrong. I looked it up. Sorcery is the power that they gain from evil spirits. I kind of reduced it down so you understand that sorcerers would have influence of evil spirits upon them, and it would give them a power that they could subdue the people. The people would be fearful of this guy, because he actually exercised the power that he really got from evil spirits. And now he's able to exercise this power over the people and have strength above them. Right? Remember in the New Testament, Simon the sorcerer?
Right?
And he had all the people, you know? So Simon the sorcerer had them all scared and so forth, and they were all underneath him, and because he had bewitched them through sorcery. Why? Because he had the ability to do that to them, he had received strength somehow to do it.
Yeah.
So he was operating in sorcery. Okay? And so, if you look at that, if you do your studies of Hebrew and Greek studies, you can look at the Greek number for that. It is 5331. G5331. If you look it up, that word for sorcery is pharmakia. Pharmacy. So now they would have spiritual, and so they repented not of their sorcery. And so let me show you what Brother Graham says about it. This is a sermon called I Will Restore. And he says, when they spoke in the pamphlet, somebody had written something about Brother Graham. When they had spoke in the pamphlet, I guess you noticed, they called me Simon the Sorcerer. Now, friends, you know I'm not Simon the Sorcerer. And by the way, Simon the Sorcerer wasn't the one that done the healing. It was the other way. It was Philip that done the healing. Simon the Sorcerer had a church, and it was a formal church, perhaps a state church, and he had them all bound down. And they didn't have any joy. They didn't have any power. But when Philip come down, he preached them Christ, the resurrection, and great joy came upon them, and healing came. And then Simon wanted to buy that power. See how backwards they had it? It was a formal stiff one that was doing the sorcery, not the healing or the power of the Holy Ghost. It was vice versa.
Yeah.
Now you hear what he's saying there. God wants to be among his people with the supernatural signs of healing and joy and saving power. But here comes some other guy. Brother Rem says he was like a church, like a state-sponsored, a formal church. In other words, one that didn't have the Holy Ghost and had bewitched the people some way and convinced them through fear to be bound down under a system that didn't heal them, didn't give them joy, but it certainly gave Simon strength. Pharmakia. Doesn't heal you, but it sure gives them strength and power. You see what I'm saying? It's sorcery. Just another form of it. So they've received the strength to put it over on the people and make people afraid. And so now when they say boo, we do this. That's relevant to what we're seeing. See what I'm saying? No joy, no peace, nothing but just sorrow and just, oh, I don't know why. But they're strong. They're making millions off of masks. Right? Yeah. Don't be surprised if they don't start doing off of goggles. I've been hearing stuff about that. Boy, they're strong and everybody's afraid. And it's confusion. Don't know this, don't know that. What, it's sorcery. Got everybody bound down to a system that doesn't heal them and doesn't give them joy. But the true gospel of Jesus Christ come through Philip and provided the real thing. You follow me? And the scripture used that word right there. It said sorcery was pharmakia, pharmacy. Same thing pharmacy come from. Amen. And so you see what it is. So we can't have confidence in medical system. See? Surely by now we can see that we can't have confidence in anything other than the gospel trumpet.
Amen.
That's where it is. Now we might find ourselves in a situation where we have to wear a mask, which we do. Okay? Fine. But I've listened to the gospel trumpet.
Right.
I'm not afraid.
No.
And you shouldn't be either. No matter what they do, we might find ourselves in their system, but don't be afraid. So you see, there's nothing wrong with medicine because the scripture says a merry heart doeth good like medicine. We know medicine is fine, but not sorcery. Medicine that will help. Medicine that will heal. Not just medicine that will bind down and keep people under tow while somebody who's providing that service becomes rich and powerful. You follow me? The Bible is very clear. The message is very clear. And we should listen to the gospel trumpet. We'll understand what's going on. And now that you know this, then you know, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Believe God. Trust in the gospels. Amen? Because everything is crumbling except that. Amen. That's what we know and believe. And so these are all different uncertain sounds to the believer.
Right.
We know we can't put confidence in those. We know we can't rally to those. Because if we listen to that and we're going to run over here and we're going to be fearful just like they're fearful. And we don't want to do that. We're going to believe God. But we're listening to a different sound. We're listening to the gospel trumpet. What God said he would do in this hour, he's doing it. And that's what we rally around. We take these truths that God is revealing and they become a part of our life. They become the daily life, the daily walk that we walk. And when this revelation tells us how to conduct ourselves, then we conduct ourselves accordingly.
Right.
That's right. We do that. When this message says you don't have confidence in a creed, you don't do it.
Right.
You have confidence in the living word. And it comes out and it tells us how we should marry. It tells us how we should conduct ourselves. Even husbands and wives, it tells us how husbands and wives should conduct themselves.
Right.
It does. And we're going to listen to it. And we're going to, if you want to hear it from me, I'm going to tell you what it says.
Yeah.
That you treat your wife as the queen.
Right.
And you're honorable to her. Keep your relationship clean.
Amen.
Right? And so we know there's so much we could just go on and on about what the message tells us. But listen, if we've got the real Holy Ghost in us, oughtn't he to be telling us where we're amiss of something that's truth?
Right.
Then why can we find ourselves going about doing things that is absolutely contrary to the message, and yet somehow we're still doing it? Contrary to truth. Right? When you know, like the sisters, you know your body is a temptation, and that you should wear a dress as long enough that your knees don't show.
Right.
Whether you sit or you kneel or stand or whatever. And yet you still see that among sisters in the message, some of them.
Right.
Why? Because they've not listened to the right trumpet.
Right.
They're not. See, you can know the trumpet sound, and you can know what it means, but if you don't act upon it, you're not winning the war. You see what I mean? We've got to be obedient to the trumpet sound that has come to us, because that's the thing that makes the difference between the rest of the world and those who are victorious, is listening to the gospel trumpet. And so, I'm so glad that I can stand here. I don't have confidence in myself. I have confidence in the Bible and confidence in a vindicated message. And I can repeat what it says. And I can do everything I can to point you in the direction of what it says.
Amen.
Amen. And so what God said He was going to do in this day, He's doing it. We can see the corrupt politics, money issue, the money problems America has, churches that Brother Rem said didn't go back to Rome. Have they? Sure did. We saw it. Going back to Rome. Blacks against white, 10 toes of Daniel's king. You've seen all that come to pass? Vatican II. Crooked votes. It's all there. Every bit of it. Can't have any confidence in any of those things out there. But we can certainly have confidence in the gospel trumpet. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to the sound of that. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let the musicians come. I'm going to pray. Lord, I just ask in God that you just take these things that we have spoken on this morning and just bring it to the hearts of your people, and just be so gripped in their hearts they would just be stirred and want to follow after your truth and take a deeper look. Lord, I find so many times that people just take what's given and they don't ever question it, they don't ever search it out, don't seek it to find it to be true. But find in your gospel, Lord, that they search the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. And then, Lord, once you find out it's right, and that's something we can hang our life on. I'm asking, Lord, that you bless the lives of the people here listening to this sermon today, that you bless their lives and their hearts, Lord, to just focus upon these things that are truth. God, that you give them one victory after another. We love you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. Let's all stand. You love the Lord? We were going to try a song today. When I was writing these notes down last night, this song came to mind, and I asked Brother Tim if he knew it. He said he'd heard it, but how many knows the song? Do you know it? You do? Can you help us with it? Well, I like it. So let's go to the chorus. And I'm not sure what key we're gonna do this in.
G.
I keep listening.
Listen, if we listen to anything else, we're going to be beat down.
That's right.
It's devices of the devil. We've got to be focused on the gospel only and what it says. And I love the way Brother Daniel opened up service this morning. Just exactly, that's right. We are victorious. We're not beat down.
No.
Don't let this stuff bother you. Amen. Look to him. Look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. Let's be happy with it. And I know, you know, before the day's out, you know, our flesh has a tendency to get down and mullygub, but we've got to rally ourselves around the gospel truth that has told us. Listen, no man can say these things from coming to pass and be right unless God would show him.
Yes.
And so we're going to stay with it. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, that's the new song we just learned.
Amen.
It's a little bit low for me.
Yeah, you go a bit.
So we'll sing this again as we get ready to go. And haven't quite got the chorus just perfect, but anyway, we'll get there. Amen. But I